بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. كم جدلت كلمات الله من جدل، كم جدل كلمات الله من جدل فيه، وكم خصم البرهان من خصم فيه، وكم خصم البرهان من خصم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. كفاك بالعلم في الأمي معجزة، كفاك بالعلم في الأمي معجزة في الجاهلية والتأديب في اليتم، في الجاهلية والتأديب في اليتم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
Come closer, brothers. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected elders, friends, beloved mu'takifin, these are the last two poems of the eighth chapter of Qasida Burda. Allama Busairi Rahmatullah Alayh finishes off this sensitive topic of jihad in a very unique way. The foundation of Islam is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Tawheed and Risalat. No one worthy of worship but Allah. And second, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the Rasul of Allah. These are the two foundations of Islam. If anyone has to deny the first one, Tawheed, then we will oppose them. And if there are people that believe in the oneness of Allah, but they do not believe in the Risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then too we will oppose them. And all the wars of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took place with these two groups of people. The Mushrikeen of Makkah, some of whom believed in the oneness of Allah, but they worshipped idols. Or there were those who did not even believe in the oneness of Allah. And then the Jews and the Christians, there were those that in their own understanding believed in Tawheed, although that Tawheed is not accepted in Islam, but they did not believe in the Risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All the wars of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were surrounded around these groups of people. People not believing in Tawheed or people not believing in the Risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And realistically speaking, The Kuffar of Makkah believed in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but it was because of political reasons. They created the impression as though they did not believe in the Risalat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whereas in the heart of hearts, they knew that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a true prophet of Allah. They have seen the life of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They used to call Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam As-Siddiq. They used to call Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Al-Amin, the honest one and the truthful one. During the Sulah of Hudaybiyah, which took place in the 6th year after Hijrat, when the peace treaty was drawn up, then the peace treaty was being dictated. Nabi Karim told to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, write down, Hada ma qada Muhammad Rasulullah. This is that which the Rasul of Allah have agreed upon. Immediately the representative of the disbelievers, they told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we believe that you are the Rasul of Allah, why must we fight? Our biggest problem with you is that we don't believe in you being the Rasul of Allah. So the whole issue of jihad was based on Risalat. Allama Busairi rahmatullahi alayhi finishes off this chapter of jihad affirming the Risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says that you cannot have any doubt, you cannot have any doubt in the Risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Kafaka bil ilmi fil ummi mu'jizatan fil jahiliyati wa ta'dibi fil yutumi. Two things in the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One was, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an ummi. Ummi refers to that person who does not have formal education, who is uneducated in terms of worldly standards. And second, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an orphan. Now normally when a person is an uneducated person, then he does not have knowledge. But when we look into the personality of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is a fountainhead of knowledge. Now, without being formally education and being a fountainhead of knowledge, that itself should tell you about the authenticity of the nubuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Secondly, when a person is an orphan, then he doesn't have a fatherly head on him. Then he doesn't have that high level of discipline or basic discipline. Leave aside the high level of discipline in him. But look at the Rasul of Allah, that he's a fountainhead of knowledge. In the hadith, Nabi Karim SAW mentioned, Utitu ilm al-awwaleen wal-akhirin. Allah has given me so much of ilm, ilm of the people of the past, ilm of the people of the future. Of course, obviously, Nabi Karim SAW was not alimul ghayb kulli. Nabi SAW had in some information, trinklings of the ghayb, but complete ghayb of the unseen, that is best known by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But Nabi Karim SAW had great extensive knowledge from, and whatever he had, it was not without asbab, it was with wahi from the side of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And look at the discipline of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person being an orphan, he normally family people probably will look after him a little bit here, there, etc. But the fatherly figure behind him disciplining the child, that was not behind Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In spite of that, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the fountainhead of discipline. Nabi Karim had the highest level of discipline, and this is what Allah says in the Quran al-Kareem: لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Look into the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Beautiful example. The highest amount of discipline is found in the personality of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allama Busairi says that, oh listener, why do you doubt about the authenticity of the prophethood of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Look in his life, ponder, reflect, and you yourself, if you're truthful and honest, you definitely will come to a conclusion that is indeed he's the Rasul of Allah. And when you believe in the Risalat of Allah and accompanied with the Tawheed of Allah, there's no need for jihad. Now it is simply to obey and follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, Kafa bil ilmi fil ummi mu'jizatan. It is sufficient for you as a miracle to have vast, unlimited knowledge in an unlettered person or in an ummi person. Where would an ummi have so much of knowledge? Fountain of knowledge. And the fact that Allah the Rasul is a fountain of knowledge and telling so many things that people do not know the people with the greatest amount of ilm at that time, they, for them it was mind-boggling. Isn't that speaks volumes about the authenticity of the prophethood? And that too, fil jahiliyyah, in a time of ignorance. At that time and point, Nabi Sallallahu is telling such things of ilm, that is, that there was no other source of getting it besides the wahi of Allah. وَالتَّعْدِيبِ فِي الْيُتَمِ And such noble etiquettes, such noble discipline in an orphan. The fact that he's an orphan, and with all that, normally an orphan is neglected, but the Rasul of Allah by divine order was never neglected. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala nurtured Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best design of mankind. This takes me to just share some advices regarding adab and discipline. And with that, we finish off with the 8th chapter. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highest level of discipline. Obviously, when the discipline came from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, so why wouldn't Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be an embodiment of discipline? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, أَدَّبَنِي رَبِّي فَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبِي. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made my adab. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has disciplined me, and disciplined me of the highest level. Now when Allah is perfect, the adab of Allah is also perfect. And when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala put that adab in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so indeed the adab of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also going to be perfect. Now, if somebody, and all of us wish for us to perfect our deen, and the only way to perfect our deen is to inculcate in us a discipline. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, or it's alluded to in many ahadiths, the effect of this, ad-deenu kulluha adab. Everything about deen is about adab. Everything about deen is about a discipline. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullah alayhi, he would say that if I come across a very learned person, but he lacks discipline, then I wouldn't have the desire to meet him. But if I have a person that is little learned, but he's got discipline, then I would have the desire to go and meet him so that I could learn a discipline from him. And that is why Faqih Abu Lays Sabarqandi rahmatullahi, he speaks about 5 categories of Sharia. One is Faraz, second Wajib, third Sunnah, fourth Nafil, and the fifth is Adab. Now, if a person wants to be conscious and a person wants to be sensitive to the farz, then it has to start off from adab. If a person is sensitive to adab, discipline, he's going to be sensitive to what is nafil. Something not compulsory to do, but the fact that he's sensitive to adab, then obviously he's going to be sensitive to nafil. Somebody is sensitive to nafil, something not compulsory to do, then to a great extent, he's going to be sensitive to sunnah. And if a person is sensitive to sunnah, he's going to be sensitive to wajib. And if a person is sensitive to wajib, that will lead him to be sensitive to farz. Otherwise, if a person is neglectful and adab, he's not going to care about nafil. And that would then lead him to negligence and sunnah. And that will then lead him to negligence to wajib and farz. So that shows that this adab is linked up to farz. That to the extent that a person got discipline in him, he's conscious, he's sensitive to issue of discipline, to that extent, he's going to be sensitive to his faraiz and his obligations. That is why some ulama so beautifully mentioned it, and they say, أَدِّبُ النَّفْسَ أَيُّهَا الْأَصْحَابُ تُرُكُ الْعِشْقُ كُلُّهَا آدَابُ. Inculcate an adab in you, O brother. O friend, inculcate an adab in you. And the way of ishq, love for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, it is all through adab. Did we see any ahlullah who don't have adab in them? So everyone from the ahlullah, the ashiqeen of Allah, they learned adab. And it is the love, it is the etiquette of love that will teach a person how to love. Otherwise, person gets married and he doesn't know how to love, he'll be kicked out from his wife faster than he entered into the marriage. So it is that love, you learn the principles of love, then only you'll be able to love Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now, what's the point? People, they brag about their academic qualifications. I'm an engineer and I got this degree and that degree. Or I'm a doctor and I've got this skills and that skills. Or I am an IT specialist and I've been employed by this big company and I'm the manager and director or a CEO of that company. Greatest educational skills, secular knowledge the person has. But you don't have discipline of talking. No adab of talking. We have no adab of dealing with people. We have no adab of tolerating the wife. With the greatest amount of secular knowledge and skills that you have, then little but the wife have to get angry and upset, you have an outburst of anger on her. Now what kind of discipline is that? And what did your secular knowledge do to you, for you just to simply tolerate your wife? So how, what rights do you have to brag on that kind of information that does not have discipline in you? Likewise, what kind of discipline it is, what kind of secular knowledge that when we go to a toilet and we don't know how to make istinja and we don't know how to wash ourselves, what kind of discipline is that? That is why it is very, very important that apart from just to become a real human being, to become an Allah-wala, learn discipline. In the tafsir of the Quran Kareem, kunu rabbaniyin, become Allah-wala. Simplified translation, rabbaniyin, Allah-wala banjao. That the tafsir of that, he says, that learn all the simple basic things of life. Not high mind-boggling things that goes beyond and above the head that the people can't even understand. Simple thing. What brings all the problems in the homes? What are the things that bring problem in our social life? It is because the people don't have the discipline in us. If we would have discipline, then there wouldn't have been problems in the homes. The husband and wife wouldn't have been a problem. Parents, children wouldn't have been having problem. In the community, in society, there wouldn't have been problem. It is the lack of discipline that is causing all these problems. And that is why in every aspect, our akabir, we're very sensitive to that. Sometimes when we look at certain things about akabirin, then they would think that they're overdoing it. Meanwhile, these are basic disciplines of life. Once, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, he was with his teacher, Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussain Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. So they partook of a meal, and after that, Maulana, now remember that time Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, he was a grand Mufti of Deoband. So Maulana Sayyid Asghar Hussain Sahab asked him to Mufti Shafi Sahab, we finish eat, do you know how to clean the Dastar Khan? How to clean the Dastar Khan? So out of adab, he said, no, I don't know. Then they said, see, first remove all, after eating, all the pot and all the containers of the day, remove it. Now on the mat, normally you'll find crumbs of bread. Now what we would simply do, we would just put everything and throw it in the dustbin. So he said, take that crumbs of bread, and there outside on the road, there's an ant hill, go take the crumbs of bread and put it there so the ants are not deprived of these crumbs. And then, you see these bones, go take it there, throw it on the other side of the road, that the neighbor's dogs can come there, at least they can enjoy the dog, the bones. And then you see these mango pits, they had mangoes, and these mango pits. Take them and go put it at a certain place, but don't go put it in that gully there where there are small children, because there are poor people living there, and the children will think that, see, the others could enjoy mangoes, our father is not rich enough to buy mangoes for us. And that the negative bad feeling will come into them. So you say, this is adab. Now, these are the things that we're supposed to be learning in us. That how we conduct ourselves, how we bring about a discipline. And that is why in the field of tarbiyat, all the time we need to scan ourselves. Like how you put something in an x-ray machine and you put something in a scanner. So all the time we need to scan ourselves. Am I doing the right thing? How can I better myself? How can I do the right thing? And that is why our akabirin, Maulana Shafi Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he has written this one kitab, Adabul Mu'asharat. That what are the disciplines of eating? In the past, people used to eat to live. But nowadays, we are living to eat, so to say. And then, because of we don't have the discipline in our eating, so many stomach-related problems and so many health-related problems. Again, it boils down because of adab. We don't have that adab of eating. Sleeping, we also don't have the discipline of sleeping. I mean, if we... Now in the month of Ramadan, it's fine, we stay awake at night. But after the month of Ramadan, sleep away quickly after Isha, so that you can wake up, have a fulfilling sleep, and come in time for Fajr Namaz. Otherwise, you're sleeping late, And then you say, I missed my Fajr namaz, I was feeling very, very sleepy. That problem is we didn't sleep early. If you sleep early, you're going to get a fulfilling sleep. Such a Muslim supposed to be designing his life according to the ordained and what is best suited for him in executing his obligations towards Almighty Allah. And likewise, spending. Sometimes we say that before the month end comes, then the pocket is empty. Now, meanwhile, you had enough money to be able to fulfill your needs. Well, how come the pocket went empty? Because you overspent. It was a lack of discipline. And that is why our ulama mentioned that stay within your budget. Don't spend beyond your budget. See what your needs are and spend your money according to your needs. One is a need and one is a luxury. Now, don't go beyond your needs and fulfill the luxuries of your life. We need to teach ourselves a discipline. What is a zarurat? What is a need and what is a comfort and luxury? Otherwise, we try to go beyond the needs and fulfill our luxuries, then we will suffer with our own needs at the end. That's why Maulana Shaykh Thanvi Rahmatullah mentioned that jab zarurat ho bazaar jana, bazaar jaakar ke zarurat talash na karna. Which means that when you have a zarurat, when you have a good need, then you go to the mall. But don't go to a mall. You got no need. Now you go to a mall. You got to start looking at everything. This is attractive and that is attractive. Oh yeah, this one, yeah, I need. Oh, okay, that one I need. And then from there, what you went to buy, you probably didn't buy, you bought everything else. Now when you need the money to buy your basic needs, you don't have it. It is a lack of discipline. And that is why, especially in this zamana, when you look at almost all the Financial Times, every now and then companies are offering this credit card and that credit card. And then you find legislation on controlling credit cards. What was the need to give the credit card and then on top of that to make legislation to control credit cards? It is because the moment you got the credit card, now you're going to swipe that credit card and you're using it more than you need. Now people keep on swiping, and then finally at the end of it, they claim bankruptcy. They can't do it. And for that, there you find legislation also coming in. It all boils down to one thing, no discipline. Now, if we learn discipline, then obviously life will become much more easier for us. That is why it's very, very important for us. Where Allama Busayri rahmatullahi alayhi ends up with a very important aspect of the life of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was ta'deemi fil yutumi. The Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the greatest amount of adab and the greatest amount of discipline in spite of him being an orphan. Remember at that time whilst being an orphan, but now being as a Nabi of Allah, then obviously he is now a perfect model and a divine design model for mankind and for humanity to come into us. Allah give us tawfiq. This is the end of the 8th chapter of Qasida Burda. We've got 2 more chapters to do. The next one is about seeking forgiveness from Almighty Allah and Shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The very purpose of this Qasida Burda was now Allama Busayri was sick, ill, paralysis, and he wanted to use this as a wasila to get cure and rahmat from Almighty Allah. So now coming the main focus of Qasida Burda, where after praising different angles and vicissitudes of the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now he's asking Allah for forgiveness and is asking that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make shafaat for him. And then right at the end, the last chapter, it is all about durood and salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah, we hope that we can do it tonight. If it is not Eid tonight, we'll be able to do some portion tonight and some portion inshallah we can try to finish it sometime tomorrow in the day. There's 2 small chapters, inshallah we hope to finish it. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.